Good morning, church. On this frosty November morning, I'm going to start right in with some announcements. Right after our service, our junior church will be having lunch together and then going shopping for turkey dinners. And Miss Bonnie really needs help with this. Of course, don't go, woohoo, let's go have lunch without our kids. She can't do that. And I wanted to let you know that those weeks that they were going around collecting all of your change, they raised $200, $261.16. So that's awesome. Yes. Okay. I have a thank you note here from Pastor Sparks that I'd like to read to you. Thank you, dear friends, for your many expressions of kindness. I've come to love and respect each of you. Thank you for the privilege of serving the kingdom with you, Jim. And I have another thank you here from Drew and Christine Van Team. Dear FWC, we wanted to write to say thank you very much for your warm welcome to us this past summer. And a massive thank you for your generous love offering to us. We are grateful to you and for you. In Christ, Drew and Christine. And announcement over here. And I assume the earlier you sign up, the better, the more helpful. Tracy. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Tracy. So what's the name of that book? Okay. That is a tongue twister. So that's going to be starting January 8th, probably after church, running about 9 weeks. So come one, come all, right? Roseanne had an announcement. Are you? Okay, Angel Tree, come see Roseanne. Trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, I wanted to say a special and warm thanks to all of our veterans. We had Veterans Day on Friday. Who in here is a veteran? Would you please stand? Or raise your hand, I guess. Oh, I see you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Brock. You guys are incredible.
Well, I also would like to acknowledge veterans with us this morning. I went to a veterans breakfast on Veterans Day. We had an honor guard there, and one of the honor guard in uniform came over to harass the Navy at the particular table I was sitting at. I didn't say anything. That's just good humor. I let him go on for a while. He was one of those army pukes. So I let it go on for a while. But then I reached in my pocket. Why I put it in there, I have no idea, but it came in handy. Pulled out my Lieutenant Commander bar. So I said, that'll be enough. And it was. Title of the sermon this morning is Refill My Nets. Kind of an odd title unless you're a fisherman. But what I'm talking about this morning is that life can become empty. Jesus alone can refill it and bring us to spiritual renewal again. Just as nets can become empty, so Jesus can refill them to bursting over. Jesus called Simon, whom he renamed Peter. Peter, as we recognize the term Petra, means rock. He took a wishy-washy Simon and renamed him the Rock. He took guys that their mother had to come and plead their case and call them the Sons of Thunder. Jesus just renamed people. And he renamed Peter. And he called him at a fisherman's net. And people knew who Jesus was at that time, not maybe literally who he was, but you know, he was known. And he said, hey, how's the fishing? And they said, well, we haven't caught a thing all night. He said, try the other side of the boat. And they hauled in a humongous catch. And Jesus said to him, follow me. I'll make you fisher of men. That was his original call. All of us have had original calls at one point or another. Some of you were raised in Christian homes, and you had the blessing of Christian parents that raised you within the context of the church. I think I mentioned before, Jesus Christ was just a cuss word in my family, that's all. But I did find the Lord. And it's good news. And eventually, and it took some time, eventually my parents even found the Lord. I baptized my father, and praise God for the Baptists. They reached my mother when I couldn't reach her. At 89 years old, she became a Christian. That happened to Peter. That was his call. That was a special call. But this morning's scripture is his second time. John chapter 21. This is after the resurrection of Christ. And after the denial of Christ by Peter, who said, I never even knew the man. It's not like Jesus wasn't going through enough. He had to deal with the disloyalty of Peter as well. So how does Jesus handle this? John chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Now, I should have changed my glasses. I forgot. I've got reading glasses. I'm going to get them. I'm sorry. Okay, we'll pick up. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, and dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." For none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it. It was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show the death by which he was to glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." That was the call. New Testament call, follow me. And he had the first time. And they had been 3 terrific years with Jesus. Can you imagine 3 years with Jesus? We've got that in our future, but we just have to imagine it here. Those 3 years. From the fishermen's nets to hearing the teachings of Jesus, seeing the miracles of Jesus, fabulous years with Jesus, where he went from Simon to Peter, the rock. He went from a disciple, which means a learner, to an apostle, which means one sent forth. He changed in those 3 years. He had become a fisher of men, and his nets were full. You know the feeling. You have a just married sign on the back of your car. You receive congratulations on your first baby. I met Lincoln this morning. He's so cute. The boss says you get the big promotion. You're close to God. It just doesn't get any better. Your spiritual net is full. I remember when I finally heard the good news. I went to a youth camp out in Grand Junction, Michigan. Warner Youth Camp in Grand Junction. And I heard a sermon that was given by Ed Swikert in a boat to the kids on the shore. It was dark. And we walked away. And I started singing, I got peace like a river. Because I had peace in my heart that I never had before. Never knew existed until I met the Lord. My nets were full. They were so full I burst in song. But as the crucifixion of Jesus put holes in his hands and feet and side, it also put holes in the spiritual net of Simon Peter. Peter saw all his hopes and dreams escaping on Good Friday. Peter's denial added to the suffering of our Lord. He denied he even knew Jesus 3 times. Jesus didn't deserve that kind of disloyalty. Jesus deserved a better friend than Peter. And Simon Peter knew that. He felt inappropriate, real, and justifiable guilt. It was an emptiness that even the joy of the empty tomb and the resurrection did not erase. Peter had lost his self-respect during this triple denial and was doing the best to live within the emptiness of his personal net. Peter's answer was to turn to Galilee and to fish. The fisher of men returned to be a fisher of fish. So he sat in his boat on the early morning light. It wasn't quite dawn yet. It was just breaking. You know what that's like. Still pretty dark, but the sun was breaking. Friends, this can happen to all of us. Spiritual nets that were full to the brim can suddenly or more often gradually empty. Because hurt happens. Hurt happens between friends, between parents and children, between husbands and wife. Last 12 years, I worked for the church. I was a conflict resolution specialist. Friends, hurt even happens in the church. People get hurt, and nets that were once full to bursting become empty. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question this morning. You answer it yourself. Don't answer me. Is there a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are now? If the answer is yes, what happened to your neck? God is so distant. Where did he go? Closeness to God was real, but now a memory. I graduated from college as a history teacher. Well, history teachers were a dime a dozen, sometimes a nickel. And so I took a job with the federal government, health, education, and welfare. But I wanted to serve the Lord, so on the side, I became a director of Christian education. And I took a Sunday school of 60 and turned it into a Sunday school of 130 with average attendance. And I felt pretty darn good. It was good. I mean, I was on a roll. But my success threatened the pastor that I was loyal to. And he turned on me. So the next move, I went to church regularly. But I said to my wife, I said, I wouldn't usher if I was asked. I won't do a darn thing in this church because it's better to be criticized for doing nothing than to have what happened to me happen again. What happened? My net was empty. It was empty. And I had a bad attitude. You know, I was sitting in an empty boat with an empty net. But one day, the choir was practicing downstairs, and the upstairs of the sanctuary, nobody was there. And I felt called by the Lord to go there and pray. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I got up, and the Lord Jesus refilled my net. The next Sunday, I was asked to usher, and I said yes. But the associate pastor said, no, you can't have him. I've got plans for him. So he used me in an evangelism program. But we get hurt. I remember I pastored in Alpena for 7 years, and I remember they had the biggest football team in their conference. They had huge guys. I couldn't win nothing. And my father, in his wisdom, said they got too much emphasis on size. What they need is a few little guys who just like to hurt people. Now, as absurd as my father's comment was, the fact of the matter is, you play football, you get hurt. I can remember being black and blue from my wrist to my shoulder. I started to lay down on the pillow. If I got within 6 inches, my head would just drop. I couldn't control that last 6 inches because my neck was so sore. And in life, we get hurt, don't we? We get hurt, and sometimes we hurt. Sometimes we're the herders. When he refilled my net, the next year I went to seminary. And my income went, took a nosedive. Had a friend say, you can't afford to do that. And he was right. Well, I had gone from a GS5 to a GS7 to a GS9 to a GS10. I was offered an 11 supervisory in 4.5 years. And then I didn't know at the time if I'd gone 5 years, I could have drawn some retirement. But I didn't know it. I left at 4.5 years and went to seminary. But we get hurt. Peter was sitting in the boat in the pre-dawn light, perhaps reminiscing. Peter had been gone from fishing for a long time. The years with Jesus had been special. Peter would have been so glad that the Lord had risen. Yet he'd been wrong in his triple denial. The Lord deserved better. The Lord could find better apostles than me, he must have thought to himself. I belong here with the fish, assuming I'd caught any, which I haven't, all night long. And from the shore in this early morning light, a silhouette says, how's the fishing? And the shadowy figure said, try the other side of the boat. And when he did, he knew it was Jesus. And he had a choice. He could take the net full of fish and sail sheepishly away, but he didn't. He jumped into the water and swam ashore to Jesus. This was the third meeting with Peter after the resurrection. They sit down for breakfast, but Jesus doesn't whitewash anything. He doesn't inflict Peter with the cruelty of a that's okay without accountability and the opportunity for resolution of Peter's guilt. The others probably didn't even know, because I don't think that's the kind of thing you'd brag about. The common Greek in the scripture tells a story that we can't see in English because languages have different words with different meanings. The Greek language has 4 words for love. For us, it's just love. The Eskimo people, the Native Americans, have all kinds of word for snow. For us, it's just snow. But they've got different words. I mean, they can tell you exactly what kind of snow it is. And so, in this situation, Jesus asked him, do you have agape? Do you have unconditional love for me, Peter? And Peter said, I have philos. I love you as a friend. The second time Jesus asked, do you have agape for me? Do you have unconditional love for me? And Jesus said that. And then Peter responded, I love you as a friend. And the third time Jesus says, do you even love me as a friend? And the third time, Peter was grieved because he had been confronted by his sins. And he said, yes, I love you. Peter is easy to identify with. When we hurt someone, it's often easier to go fishing than face up to those that we've hurt. We know that we haven't measured up. The guilt is more than a passing feeling. The guilt is constant, real, and appropriate as a self-evaluation of wrong behavior. Peter needed forgiveness. Peter felt unclean because he knew that he had offended the Christ. The confrontation by Jesus was the opportunity for renewal. It's just exactly what Peter needed. Jesus practiced what he preached. Sometimes when somebody hurts us, it'll be a cold day in a hot place before I ever deal with that person again. But Jesus had taught them, if your brother offends you, you go to your brother. And that's what he did. He went to Peter. And that's the right thing to do. Whether or not there's any reconciliation is up to the person you go to. But the right thing to do when you're wronged is to go to that person and tell them. After that, as far as it is within you, live at peace with everybody. That doesn't mean it's within them. You can only control your behavior. But your job is to seek reconciliation. I remember a Navy psychiatrist at Portsmouth, Virginia. He says, people can have catharsis with me by bearing the wrongs in their past, but God alone can forgive them. We can talk to other people, but there are times when we need to go to that altar and talk to God. The application of this text is quite simple. If we have become empty, Jesus can do it again. Jesus can refill our lives. If you've surrendered to temptation, if your tongue has gone unbridled, nets that were once full can become empty. You hurt, and you have hurt. You find yourself distanced from God. How do you handle the emptiness? You remember the time when you were closer to God? Those were the days, but they're gone. Now you sit in your empty boat with your empty net. We've all been there. I shared my experience with you. But just as the Lord recalled me, and just as the Lord recalled Peter, there's a silhouette on a distant shore that's calling you. And he's calling you to follow me. He's not going to whitewash anything. We have to face our guilt and seek forgiveness. Or we can walk coldly away. The choice of Peter's is the choice that is ours. Peter had the courage to come again when Jesus called a second time. And this morning I hope you have that courage as well. Because just as spiritual lives can get emptied, Jesus can refill them. And Jesus asks you what this text asks you this morning. Follow me. Precious Heavenly Father, we praise you because you have provided for us. You were incarnated, enfleshed in Jesus to reach out to us, to show us how much you love and care for us. You paid for our sins in the cross. You gave us hope in the empty tomb. But Father, you called to us. You're not going to assault us. You give us the choice. And Father, those of us who know you and have known you, but have slowly slipped away, I ask that you touch each heart this morning, that we might have an about face, change directions, and again do what you calling us to. I pray for the hearts here this morning, and I ask each and every one of us to follow. In Christ's name, amen.
Father, we thank you for being a God of second chances and 57 chances and 343 chances. You love us so much. Help us let your love shine in our hearts. Help us to open our mouths and cry out to you. We love you so much. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Have a beautiful week, church.
Amen.